Who are you?
They call me Dr. Love.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
I'm going to drink a lot of beer and stay out all night.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, the Down Under Beer Show. And we're kind of a little under the weather, a little depressed because we have lost one of the late greats, musical geniuses, and chef from South Park, Isaac Hayes.
He's a bad mother.
Hey, shut your mouth.
Hey, Isaac Hayes has shuffled off this mortal coil and got his ass out of town. And he took apparently Bernie Mac beat him.
Yeah.
Right?
Just barely.
And Samuel L. Jackson apparently is scared white because these three were in a movie, right?
Uh huh.
And wham, bam, where's Sam? I mean, they're looking for the Grim Reaper said, come on, baby, your ass is mine. I got two out of three.
And Morgan Freeman got so lucky.
Oh, he dodged it.
Yeah, he sure did. He could have been the trifecta.
We reported on that on the the last, not the last show before last.
Right.
But, it's a sad day. And
so I'm not sure how Scientology works, but does that mean that Isaac Hayes gets his own spaceship now?
I don't know. You know,
good question.
I ain't seen a damn thing about the funeral arrangements. Nothing.
Hey, you know something on Channel 5 this morning, I was watching the news, and they were going, they did about a 3-minute spiel on Scientology, which I thought was pretty
Two and a half minutes too long.
Yeah, 2.5 minutes too long.
Although, disclaimer, Big Foamy Head supports and embraces all religions, creeds, colors, and sexual orientation.
Lebanese and all those, too. Yeah.
But except as the ones we don't agree with.
Yeah. But, I mean, why in the world would the news do a spiel on Scientology? Just because he's a Scientologist, who the hell cares?
Set the record.
I mean,
straight.
When somebody dies and they announce it on the news, do they always say, well, he was a Baptist, and now we're going to tell you about the Baptist religion? Well, I don't think so.
I guess you're determining which sector of hell you're going to.
Amen. Right? And, well, he was a Catholic, and now we got to talk about the Pope for 20 minutes? I don't think so.
But
I mean,
we also,
come on.
We got to also say, though, that in keeping with the Down Under theme, we got our friend from Down Under, Mr. Joe Galea, is in the house.
Hey, all right. Here.
He traveled a mile or two.
Thank you.
All right. And it's called Rick clicks the webcam.
Is that like one hand clapping?
Rick is like here with us. This is the coolest thing. God is good, and that's why we have technology.
Amen.
Rick's
to hell with Scientology.
He's in the room with us. We're like looking at him. He's right there on the webcam.
Yep.
It is so good to see.
I feel and like he, the brother is and, in Memphis.
Yeah,
and he's drinking with us too.
He is. Yeah. We're having a cocktail here. So Joe's here, and everybody who's listened for any length of time knows our friend Joe, and so it's just great to be here and great to have you here.
Very good.
Man, I mean, we just had a big time. The times that we've been able to spend together since you've been here, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's been great. Yeah, great.
And Joe has done Memphis, and I think Memphis might have done Joe a little bit.
tell us what you did while you're here.
Oh, well, I did just about everything. You know, I did the tourist bit, of course, and one thing I always wanted to do is sing on Beale Street.
Uh-huh.
And finally, I was asked to get up and sing a couple of songs, which I did. Yeah,
that is cool.
Yeah.
That
so is cool. I can always say that I sang on Beale Street.
That's
anyway,
right.
I ate a lot of catfish.
Well, good.
Which a lot of people down home don't even want to know about. You know what I mean? Drank a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, you got to do that.
Flying saucer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We did the tap house.
We had a great time there. I knew I drank them too, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know what you were ordering, but whatever you ordered was bloody great. And,
Did you eat the Boscos?
We did.
Bosco's.
We went to Bosco's.
Yeah, we had a nice lunch there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a stout.
And today y'all did Elvis?
We did.
Yeah.
Which I guess...
But we had nice ribs before that.
Oh, yeah. We went to Central Barbecue.
Oh, good.
Had us some ribs. But we went down there, and I guess that's the other event. Today is...
This just in. Elvis is still dead.
Yeah, Elvis is... speaking of dead people,
yeah.
Elvis is still down under, planted in safely and securely in his backyard. Joe and I went to check to make sure he was still there. But we went and toured... this is Elvis Dead Week here in Memphis.
Really?
And and we went, and I've been here 40-something... We'll just let that hang. Years. And I've never been to Graceland.
Mm-hmm.
Today was my first time, and Joe and I...
I've never been.
We toured Graceland. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
It was. It was great. And, you know, it's... a lot of people, like you were saying before, they say it's tacky and that, but, hell, you know, that was the time.
It was the time.
And a lot of money was spent on the
Back decor, then it was. You know? Back then it was. Sure was. Yeah. And something you got to realize too, Joe. Back then, that area was the elite part of Memphis.
Yeah, I'd imagine that. Yeah, that's for sure.
And you know, back then it was pretty much a farm, and there wasn't a lot of houses around or businesses around and all that. It was just out in the open. So, and then over the years, things kind of filled in, but it was still an elite part. But then, you know, 10 years go by, and next thing you know, the urban life moves in.
Yeah, moves in.
Poverty moves in. Projects move in.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah. But what we did see, a lot of ground there with horses running around still.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, in Whitehaven. Middle of, like you said, an urban area.
Yeah.
Really, residential back in there. And he's got enough land, his horses back there. Very nice. And, and speaking of nice... We got a couple of nice beers that we've been enjoying.
Oh, yeah.
And and so we got to kind of recap because we started. We're like several beers in. Always a good thing.
Amen.
And, a lot of show prep today.
Nothing like a little warm-up.
So, Rick, what did you what'd you start off with?
I started off with the Stone 888 Vertical Epic Ale.
You bastard.
God, yes. And in case no one's told you lately, you suck. God, the Vertical Epic. You're drinking that thing. Yeah, that's like virgin beer.
assuming it came out August 8th, that's still pretty young. Shit.
Yeah, no kidding. How was your jailbait beer? Fill us in. screw that
there.
Putting it up, right?
They're always pretty amusing on the bottles. So it says the inspiration for this year's edition comes from a trip to Belgium taken by Stone Brewmaster Steve Wagner and head brewmaster Mitch Steele. In early 2008, there they discovered a special edition of a renowned Belgian golden triple that had been extra hopped with American hops. Back in Escondido, we opened the bottle and found it was good, very good, in fact. Being hop lovers that we are, we found the whole experience deliciously inspiring. Our Stone 888 Vertical Epic is a variation on this theme. We proudly present you with this very dry, pale, golden beer, which sports thick, creamy, white foam, is spicy, estery, and fruity from the yeast, and possesses a crisp bitterness, oh yes, and is very, very generously hopped.
So it's a
good beer, guys.
It's a hopped-up triple.
Dry,
very interesting.
Belgian triple.
So what's your take on it?
The guys from Stone did it right. Well, we had that bad experience with the Earthel Hoppet.
Oh, yeah.
This is not that.
All right, good. Yeah, because you know, triples, man, that's like you can screw up and smack your head on the board. I mean, that's hard to pull off just by itself.
Has it got a pretty good finish?
This is meant to be laid down until 12-12-12, so,
okay.
You know, it's got a nice, strong, high alcohol value.
What's the finish like?
It's dry.
Okay. Finishes pretty quick.
You're the hopped up hops are there and gone.
Oh no, they don't stick to your tongue.
Yeah.
You get a lot of the Belgian characteristic as an aftertaste, but initially you get that nice smack in the face with Stone bruise that you got from the hops. You know,
very nice. Yeah, well, very cool. Okay, so you started off with the Vertical Epic, and we went a little Belgian ourselves. We had an Omegang. The Omegang, their flagship ale.
Is that the Abbey Ale?
Yes, Abigail. Good stuff, and Joe was enjoying that. It's very fruity, rich, burgundy, kind of wine-ish.
Great tasting beer. Yep.
It was very, I mean, we're sitting in here just enjoying it and thinking, okay, this is not something we want to carry outdoors.
Yeah, because the flies will eat the fuck out of it.
But well, it was, I mean, it was really, it was it not?
No, that was nice, a real nice, rich beer.
It was a hearty kind of, man, it was just like a meal. It was a,
yeah, I like that. That's one of my favorites. Yep.
Yeah, I love the Armagong Brewer. So we've got off to a pretty good start.
Y'all had a Le Fin de Mans, too,
a while ago. Yeah, we did, just kind of as a chaser.
Yeah. Kind of to cleanse the palate.
Cleanse the palate. One of my favorite brewers.
Look at Rick, he's smiling on in the camera.
The Le Fin du Monde. A little Le Fin du Monde 9% ABV chaser, baby. And so, Rick, what are you working on now?
Well, this guy's a dead soldier, so the next segment, let's talk about during the next segment.
Oh, okay. Well, good. All right. So Mike is finishing up, and mine's gone, and Joe's almost gone. We're way ahead of you. We're on our our third beer for this first segment.
And, hey, I actually had a Boulevard Pale Ale a while ago.
That's right.
And then a couple hours earlier, I had the Alaskan Brewery. Had their
the Amber?
Amber Alt. Yeah.
Have you guys seen Alaskan Smoked Porter yet? I've been looking for it, but I haven't seen it.
Is that Alaskan Brewery?
That's one. That's like Hen's Teeth, man. That's hard to find.
Is that the Alaskan Brewery?
Yeah.
Same one
that
made the one I'm drinking?
Porter,
Well, hey, my neighbor, Brad Johnson, he's flying up that way.
We need
In Oregon, and he said he's going to try to find some, bring it back.
All right. He said, then if we don't get any Smoked Porter, it's his ass.
Okay.
Brad Johnson, you hear me?
Hey, Christy listened to the show when she works out, so she'll tell it.
It's up to you, Christy.
Yeah.
For the number of FedEx pilots you guys are neighbors with, you ought to be getting stuff from all over the world.
You would think. We've got the inbound.
You know, it kind of sucks because I've had the offers to bring it back. You know, they're all like, hey, I'll bring it back, but it never happens.
Yeah.
I guess they're busy guys and they forget, you know.
Well, you know.
But you know they work at least 1 week, half a year.
I know.
That's right. Well, you know, you want to let them get plenty of rest.
You know, it's like Brad, my neighbor Brad. He came over to the house today and he brought me the Alaskan Amber Alt. And I said, "Are you working today? Let's drink one." He goes, "Nah, well, I am working." And he's on reserve, on call, so he can't drink. He's on call
job.
To midnight. Gets paid, and then he can go over there at his house and play around, do projects, and all that stuff. He's got a pretty good gig.
Well, all right. I wish I had that job, but apparently I ain't got enough edumacation or something. But so we're on to our last beer, of this segment.
Right. How many beers do we have? Eight.
Yeah, we got a lot. Yeah, we're going for a record here. But this is the Twin Sisters, which we've had before. A lovely double. Mm. IPA.
Very good.
It's got some chunkage, and Mike was kind of skeptical because it was a big 720 bottle from Left Hand Brewers, and Left Hand's one of those guys that, in my opinion, is kind of hit or miss. The big bottles, money.
Yeah.
Money. The little bottles, you know, this ginger thing.
I'm not hot.
But
I'm
the
not
big bottles,
on that one.
Oh, man, I ain't had a bad one yet. So the Left Hand Twin Sisters Double IPA. Double IPA, also known as San Diego style, also known as Imperial IPA, right? So we popped the top, and we've had this on the show before.
So that's Imperial IPA, right? Or Imperial Pale Ale.
It's an Imperial?
Imperial Pale Ale.
Well, I don't know. Is it an Imperial IPA?
I'm wrong.
But it was right tasty, and what is it, 9.5%?
9.6%. Double IPA.
Double IPA and the Twin Sisters, which way back, go look it up.
Bottle condition.
Something about, yes, bottle condition. So it had some chunkage, and it was not a clear see-through beer. It had a chill haze. It had a yeast funk. Smelled wonderful. Beautiful.
If I recall, the Twin Sisters were mountains out here in Colorado, right?
Yeah. And this, I'm looking on the bottle. This is a 2006 model that we're driving here.
So this baby's got some mileage on it.
It has. We kicked the tires. We took it out for a little drive.
Yeah, we don't drink that virgin beer.
No, ain't no 888. Rick going for this 12 days old, that's good enough. It was a fresh beer.
We want that skunky beer, that old beer.
No, it was really good, and we did get a couple of chunks, and I drank everyone. I'm looking at my glass. Look at it. It looked like I was drinking oatmeal. No, it was really, though, it was tasty. Mike's got like a thumb size chunk. And it's good,
drink.
He's eating the chunk. Yeah. There is no more chunk. He ate it all.
I got chewy beer.
Chewy beer. That's right. That's man style right there. All right. So we got our guest Joe in here, and we need to go ahead and kick it off with one of the songs, because we've had Joe. We played Joe on the show, of course, when we talked about it, et cetera, et cetera. And, we're going to talk a little more with him about his career and some of the things he's done. But let's kick it off. And since we're all in kind of up-tempo mood, I want to go with the one that, not to be Debbie Downer, to borrow Rick's phrase, but this is the song that Joe wants to play at his funeral. And it's a happy song because...
Tell us a little bit about it.
No, it's called I Had a Real Good Time. I heard it, Delbert McClinton. He recorded it.
Okay.
And I'm not too sure. I think he also wrote it. But I heard it, and I loved the words.
Uh-huh.
I really loved the words. And I said, yeah, look, I'm no teenager, but... And when the Lord finally takes me, I'm not going to say why. I'm going to say, hell, I had a great time.
Amen.
You know, and and at my funeral, I don't want no morbid music. All I want is an up tempo thing. So So this is the song. I even put it down on my will.
That's right. This is not only a good idea, it's the law.
The law. Yeah, I had a real good time.
Well, the lives that fly by to steal me in, just in case I don't ever see you again, I had a real good time. I love my wine. I love my women and song and the carrying on. I had a real good time. Something new, I had a real good time. I love my wine. I love my women and song and the carrying on. I had a real good time. There's a big old world of opportunities for a man who sings the blues. You learn a lot more about life from the thing you ain't supposed to do. Got away with women, they keep coming around. That's the kind of thing you don't turn down. I had a real good time.
I guess if you gotta die, That's an Alpha song, man.
That's right.
Mean, you can't have too many people tearing up and stuff. But and Joe, you know, this reminds me. We were at Graceland today, right? Looking at it, and we saw people crying.
We certainly did. Yeah, I mean, they were at Elvis Presley's grave, and they were actually walking away with tears in their eyes. Wiping.
Isn't that
their
amazing? How long it's been? It wasn't like he died yesterday.
No,
you know?
it's like
31 years.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I said to Dick, you know, I don't know, you know, you talk about magnetism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but
That's great. He had it. He had it. And it was something. It's like you were saying earlier, Joe. I mean, you know, people might think it's a little tacky, but it was the time.
It was the time.
And, but God, I mean, we're looking like we saw the 67 comeback suit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You can't help but look good wearing that leather coat and pants and stuff.
Oh,
man.
I mean, it was cool.
It was very cool.
It was cool. Really.
Yeah, so Elvis is still the man. He's dead 31 years, still the man.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It really was.
Well, I know he had a beautiful wife and put out a pretty daughter, too.
That he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, my word.
And we saw a couple of pretty girls there.
We did. I tell you what, I don't know where she came from, but I tell you, it was one hell of a pretty girl.
The one, the blonde headed,
that you took a photo of?
On your camera. Didn't want him to forget. But,
he wants me to send him a photo.
Yeah, don't they all? Yeah.
But, this one chickie there, and people were taking pictures of her, mm-hmm. not from the front.
Oh, really?
Yeah. From the back.
She had a big booty.
No.
Oh?
She had an Elvis tattoo.
Oh, really?
I mean, this is not just some half-assed thing. Uh-huh. It was him with the...
It was one of the best tattoos we've seen.
It was
beautiful.
Oh, of Elvis.
Yeah,
of
Elvis.
Just a word. It was
just below her neck there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
fantastic. It's like her whole back. Yeah, it was like a nice, like, it was his head, and there's music notes and microphones and things. It was really, I mean, people were stopping and said, can I take a picture?
That reminds me of a great joke.
Yeah?
There was this girl, and she got really drunk. She was on Beale Street in Memphis, and she walked into a tattoo parlor, and she says, I want to get a tattoo of Carl Perkins on my left inner thigh, right up close to the Yahoo, and then I want... Elvis Presley on the right-hand thigh, right up close to the Yahoo. And so she went in, and he says, you know, it's going to take several hours. You know, I'm going to have to work hard at it. So anyway, he gets busy and does the tattoos. And she looks down, and she goes, that doesn't look a damn thing like either one of those guys. And he goes, yeah, I'll prove it to you. So he goes out in the alley and grabs this wino and drags him into the tattoo parlor. And she says, does that look like Carl Perkins or Elvis Presley? And he looked at it a minute, and he goes, I don't know, but the guy in the middle looked like Willie Nelson.
All right. Well, apparently, this is the joke segment of Big Fummy. Yeah, because I told you I had one. This is a friend of mine called and told me. Then this is kind of a sweet joke, right? This is a nice, sweet story. There was this little girl, and she loved playing in the vacant lot next door. It had flowers and bushes and trees. And so she played there, and she'd play dolls, and she'd play house and enjoyed it. And one day, this man shows up with a tripod, and it had a little scope on it. And she says, what are you doing, mister? And she says, well, I'm surveying the land because we're going to build a house here. And she goes, oh, a house. Well, will you leave the trees? And he said, well, we'll leave as much of them as we can, sweetie. But think about this. You're going to get some new neighbors. And he said, oh, that'll be fun. And so the construction crew comes in, and they start cutting it down. And she's asking questions of, well, what kind of a house is it going to be? And he said, oh, it's going to be a nice, pretty house and a nice family. And hopefully they'll have a little girl, too, so you have a friend to play with. And so come on in, and you can watch us build a house. And so the little girl goes and watches, and of course everybody, these big rough construction men, they just love her to death. And they kind of take her in, and she becomes their little helper. And she'll they'd say, okay, take the box of nails over to Mr. Mike. And she'd carry the box of nails over. And they'd say, okay, take this hammer over to Mr. Joe. And she'd carry the hammer over. And so this goes on for days. And they're like framing up the house and pouring it. And they've got the frame built. And they made her like a little hard hat. And they put it on her. She's just like a little mascot. And they just thought, oh, this is the sweetest little girl. And so they give her, they said, well, you know, she's been working so hard. Been out here every day with us. Let's take up a collection. And they take up a collection. Everybody puts a few dollars in. They give. And everybody's getting their pay envelopes at the end of the week. And they said, come here, sweetie. We got one for you, too. And they gave her the pay envelope. And, oh, she's just so overjoyed. She goes, look, Mama, look. They paid me for helping them. She said, oh, that's so good. Let's take you down to the bank. And we'll open you a bank account because you're such a big girl. You're such a big helper. And so they go to the bank. And the lady says, well, you're opening a bank account. You're a little six-year-old girl. Oh, you're such a big girl. Well, how did you earn this money? She says, oh, I've been helping the men, the construction men. I'm working construction, building a house. She says, oh, that's so nice. She says, so you've made all this money this week. Are you going to go back next week? She says, well, yeah, if Home Depot will get off their fucking ass and deliver the goddamn sheetrock. There's your explicit writing there, Rick.
I love it. That's funny. Deliver the damn sheetrock.
Nice guy. He called me up out there. Listen, oh, isn't it nice? Where's the fucking sheetrock? That's great. Okay. So, well, Joe, you were telling me, though, you wanted to say, hey, to some of the folks back home.
Yeah, I certainly do. I want to say hello to Pat, my wife, and my daughter.
Did they know you're gone?
A quick exit, you mean?
Have they found the note? Yeah.
Gone to the States, be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Got a quarter milk, visit Memphis, be back soon.
Yeah, well, you know, Susanna, my granddaughter, Mia, you know, I love them to death. But a special cheerio to the band, and of course, Jimmy Sloggett. Now, man,
that bastard! Wait, we weren't going to talk about him.
That bloody mongrel! I tell you, I'm going to tell you about that mongrel. I love the man, and my guitar player.
What's his name?
Yeah.
The dude with the.
I tell
the
you
dude
what,
with the
two
axe.
More of these, and I wouldn't even know where I am. But Bob. You know, Bobby Davey. But
we've been talking about Bob all day.
Yeah. But like Jimmy Sloggett, you know, he played with so many different people. Mm. Like he backed Wilson Pickett.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he backed all the greats, and I knew Jimmy. Well, I didn't know him, but I mean, I used to go and watch him, and I wasn't old enough to get in the pub to go and watch him. And he was a young man himself. And then, he was like a pioneer in the rock and roll music in Australia.
Yeah.
And, after all these years, lo and behold, we're bloody working together.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the man to death. Like he's like my own brother, and he loves his food,
oh, yeah.
And he loves his beer.
There you go. See, that's our kind of guy, right?
Yeah. Amen.
And every Monday, just about every Monday, we get a few people together, and we go out, and we try different restaurants, and we buy different beers.
Mm-hmm.
And we get half pissed. We call it pissed.
Drunk.
Yeah, drunk. Yeah. We get half drunk and that. And then
in America, we get drunk, then we go pissed.
Yeah. Or we get pissed drunk. Yeah, we
do that too. Uh-huh. But then, nine times out of ten, they land at my place, uh-huh. and we carry on from there.
Okay.
And then we got to watch it, because, you know, we've got to, like, the cops are very, you know,
cop-ish.
I mean, if you drink drive, they're right on you, you know. So, I mean, I don't like to see them getting pissed drunk and then driving home, but hey, but we do it, you know what I mean? But what I was going to say, with Jimmy, he loves stacks.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
You know.
And that's where.
That's where you guys got to go today, right? Yeah.
It wasn't today. It was earlier this week.
Oh, okay.
Right?
This week.
Yeah.
And that was fabulous. I mean, you know.
Did you go to Sun Studios?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Good.
I went to Sun Studios. Yeah, I couldn't pass.
Stacks was we said this earlier, Mike, and when we were talking about when Joe and I went in, and I was citing a line from local guy Rob Junkless' song, the song Memphis Thing,
uh-huh.
and one of the lines is bowing down at the Church of Stacks,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and that's where we went, and of course the first thing you see when you go in is a church,
uh-huh.
a little wood pews and stuff, and mm-hmm. it's like, man, that's just started it right there.
Oh, yeah, yep.
The hairs on the back of your neck.
They stood up.
We closed the place.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean,
we were the last ones out of there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you talk about stacks. I've been listening to the artists that came out of stacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to sing a lot of rock and roll in the first part of my time in the music, and then one day I heard Wilson Pickett mm-hmm. come out. I said, shit, who's this guy?
Yeah,
and that was it. You mm-hmm. know, I before that I was listening to people like. Muddy Waters,
uh-huh.
and Otis Rush and people like that.
Yeah.
But when Wilson Pickett came out,
I said,
wow,
that was it.
Yeah,
that's it.
And I went on from there.
And we heard something, and I've talked with Joe. I said this like several times, probably running into the ground. I've been to Stacks multiple times, but mm-hmm. I never really heard this and thought about it. The words they use to describe the type of singing, and this is Otis Redding, James Brown, Solomon Burke, who I'm now more familiar with because of Joe, but the guys who sang, and Jackie Wilson, who we watched.
Jackie Wilson.
The words they use that describes is controlled emotion. It's releases, small releases of explosive
power. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just like, shit, that's it. Right there.
Yeah.
And it's like you watch them sing. If you closed your eyes, you'd think they were bending over, sweating their brains out, screaming into the microphone. You look at them.
They're not.
They're like, you know, controlled emotion. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, another guy that probably not as much known, but as far as I'm concerned, is one of the giants. That's William Bell.
Oh, William Bell. Oh, man, beautiful, you
know,
beautiful.
I love everything that William Bell did, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, man, if I could only meet the man, you know.
Yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, yeah. And I plan to record some of his stuff, too.
And it was nice, though, going in and looking, and we, like, saw the artists there and got a lot of history and background and things and filled in some gaps. So it was really cool seeing all that. And we saw Isaac Hayes ride.
Really?
Yeah. That is a must. Anybody that comes to Memphis, they've got to see his ride.
This is the pimp
Let me tell you.
Mobile. Man, it's rabbit fur, carpet on the back, big rabbits too, not the little ones.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
them little. You know, Australia's overrun with rabbits.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. These are the big mothers.
And the big swamp rabbits.
Big swamp, yeah, big mothers. They're like 100-pound rabbits. But no, it's like this a blue with gold trim, and not a dark blue, but it's just like, I mean, it's just, it's styling and profiling, man.
Cool.
I mean, it's just pimped out as you can be. And Isaac was talking about it, he says, well, you know, today it looks kind of silly, but back then that was the style.
Same thing with Elvis's house.
Exactly the same.
That car was the crazy, ridiculous, outlandish price of $25,000.
Wow. Today it'd be $125,000.
Yeah,
at least.
That's a Toyota Camry these days. Yeah. But this is like a gold-plated pimp ride, and it's a Cadillac Eldorado. I mean, that thing was big.
I think it's cool. As long as my house in Melbourne.
and it was and they had a TV and a wet bar and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's right. A big box there so we can keep his whatever in there.
Yeah.
Now at Stax, do they pretty much just have all their artists? Is that pretty much it?
Yeah,
or do they get into the blues history?
Well,
or,
is as well. You know, I mean, the influences and things like that.
Do they have much about Clarksdale and Robert Johnson and all that?
No.
They did on one. They did refer to Clarksdale and some of the Mississippi influences. Yep.
That's what I was hoping we could get you down there to Clarksdale.
No. Yeah, I would have loved that. But anyway, next time.
Yeah.
I mean, let me tell you, it won't be my last time here.
Yeah. We need to get you down there for a good 3 days. I think there's plenty to do down there. We get you.
Yeah. Get a little of that.
Go to the crossroads and all that.
Crossroads. That's when we bring the band back.
I'd love that.
That's right.
Yeah.
We get Jimmy off his ass come down here.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to bring my band here and perform, you know. Yeah.
Well, you know, you made your debut on Bill Street. The doors are flying open.
Hey, there's a place down in Taylor, Mississippi, which is just south of Oxford, and they're always looking for people to come down and play. I mean, we might get you in there. Who knows?
Yep.
Joe, weren't you looking for a beer festival to sponsor you to come over?
Yeah, I would love that. Yep, because I'm a great beer drinker, so, you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
Maybe we can get you to the Great American Beer Festival.
That would be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
We'll be your agents in the U.S. We'll pimp you out.
Man, look, I tell you.
The standard 50%.
Yeah, we only take 50%. There you go.
And let me tell you, I won't let you down.
I'll tell you what I loved about going to Stax was the fact that they recruit all that talent from maybe a 5-block radius.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
We were looking at that. They got like the neighborhood map.
Like
what you got to realize,
Rufus Thomas.
Yeah.
But right back then, that area that was the black area, it wasn't that big. I mean, it was that size.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's where all your soul singers were coming from.
Yep.
Out of that area, that 5-mile area that you're talking about.
And one of the guys, though, and of course, is one of my. Anybody who's listened to this long enough knows one of my favorites is Johnny Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, of course, he's a Johnny Taylor fan, too.
Oh, definitely. Oh, I love
him. He is smooth, got a range. Man, we miss him. But, he's one of the guys that I can't get enough of. And I was real pleased to see Joe covered him. On first or what CD is this? Things Have Changed.
That was the first album I did under my own name.
Okay.
I recorded on different with different bands.
Okay,
but that's under my own name.
And we forgot to mention. Okay, so the one though that we played before
that's my last. Okay,
Hiding Undercover.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to hear. This, see what you're up to. It's a website.
Yeah. JoeGaleaBand.com.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay. That's it. Pretty easy.
Yep.
And it's got the Dear Fans, I'll be out of the States for a while. Piss off. See you later.
Now, do you have a MySpace page?
Yeah, it's on MySpace too.
Okay.
MySpace/Joe Galea.
That's it.
Yeah. So you got this. Okay, so the one we played was from second
third? Which one?
The Hiding Undercover.
Hiding Undercover is my third.
Okay, so that was I Had a Real Good Time. So we're going back to this one. We wanted to hit this because I sort of stepped on with the... All right, coming up, the infamous third segment, all the arts, class, and culture.
Beer haiku
coming up. And we need to... So let's take another break. We're going to hear Johnny Taylor, probably one of his most widely known, Who's Making Love. And Rick was singing it to us. Thank you, Rick, for serenading us earlier.
With my golden singing voice.
That's right. Oh, yes. The dulcet tones of Rick Hagerbomber. And so Joe, you're going to have to work it, baby. I mean, to step up to...
Well, he sang well.
So Joe's going to do his feeble half-assed effort at who's making love
to your old lady.
Yeah, while you were out making love.
To feed on. Hey there.
Okay, we're coming back.
Hey, we've got to intro this. It's Mike. What's pissing you off?
That's
today?
Right, Mike. What?
Because you're
what's pissing off Mike?
You're hating on me because I'm wanting a beer with a little bit less alcohol in it. Because what I started out Monday. I got on my happy little car and headed to Little Rock, and I winded down about four people, starting about 5 p.m. till who knows when.
So far, got such up, to be it.
Got up and worked all damn day with them, visiting customers and things like that. And then we wined and dined again. And then damn. Tuesday, Wednesday, got on a plane and went to Dallas and then San Antonio. And then we wined and dined all night with all the Gripple people that we had our meeting with.
Three
and then we had a meeting all the
enjoying.
Next day. Had a meeting all the next day, which was hell. And then we wined and dined and drank all night. Went, I think we went to eight different bars. I mean, it was just everywhere.
Whoa.
Horrible.
And then we did the same thing the next night.
Horrible.
And then here I am.
What a terrible thing to do.
I just need a break. I really do. I need a break.
So
man.
What's pissing you off is you've enjoyed the lush life.
You know what I need?
Yeah,
you know
while
what I
we
need?
Were working.
I need a Bud Light.
leave this room now. Mike's complaining because
I'm sitting here drinking a Shafley Reserve right now, wine at 10.2% alcohol.
I think your man Jonna is acting up.
Woo, man.
Yeah.
My luck. My vulva is vulvalating.
Is it swollen and tingly? Is that
yes.
what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Man.
Dumb bang him under.
It's that. Engorged.
Engorged and tingly. So your estrogen level is just a tad high.
Man. Right? I'm worn out.
I know.
Put up wet.
That's right. Bent over, had your way with you, and
yes.
put you away. Okay.
Mike, what? It's not easy being a co-host of Big Foamy Head.
No, it's not. But you know what? I saddle up and get it done.
You will get her done. Wait, this is it. This is the third segment. You got to get your man on.
You listeners out there have no idea what great lengths we go to satisfy
right.
your cravings for a Big Foamy Head
that's
beer
right.
show.
That's right.
Let's go ahead and clue people in why we're so loose. It's been at least an hour since the last segment, right?
Yeah. We had some Corky's barbecue and a nice meal, and Joe was filling us with all kinds of tales that we're going to have to get to.
Yep.
We're going to have to talk about some of these. Rick, we didn't have any beer. We're sitting up there getting our barbecue on, and we're back. But we do have a special beer because this is the third segment. It's always that magical, wonderful moment. When we bring in the class, the culture, it's kind of the apex of the show. And everything, you know, just goes to shit thereafter, right?
Yeah. So I think it's already been there. We passed
we'll
that.
We'll go ahead and cue the music. Yeah. We'll do Big Foamy Head's interpretive dance theater presentation of Beer Haiku Daily from beerhaikudaily.com. As August 15th entry, it's called Inevitable. Once upon a time, there was a bottle of beer. Now it is empty. Beer haiku.
Yes.
Yeah.
Class. Culture.
Culture.
That's right. Empty bottles.
Okay, now let's go back down into the gutter.
Well, that was great. We've been waiting all time to do that.
We didn't do a beer haiku last time. Maybe we need to do two this time.
The double shot? Okay, we got the hurt us fourth segment. The elusive fourth segment. It's going to get that way. Hey, you know what? We were talking about upstairs, Rick, and we hadn't really touched on. It's, you know, what goes well with getting your drunk on? Olympic fever.
Amen, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Party on,
yeah.
Garth.
We've got two countries representing here. And, man, I mean, there's some action. Mm-hmm. Going on the track and field, my favorite part's just now starting, but swimming,
yeah.
It's all about the swimming here.
It's all about Mr. Phelps.
Mr.
Phelps, if your mission, if you choose to accept it,
that's right. Go out and pimp you up some medals.
Yep.
And they had Mark Spitz on the Today Show, And he could not have been more gracious and supporting us. And, man, this guy is surreal. And he was talking about, this is the thing, Mike, I was listening to this, and it occurred to me. He was talking about the times, and we were talking about them earlier, right?
Yeah.
They're winning by hundredths of a second.
Yeah, right? Hundredths of a second. Yeah.
And Mark Spitz, who still, as of this very second,
he's
may
still
not
gay,
be.
Right?
Oh yeah.
I don't know about that. Okay. But not that it matters. We embrace all creeds, colors.
And see, you didn't think John Wayne was gay. John Gaines was John Wayne was gay either, did you?
But we're not gonna go down that road, Mike. What's it called?
Hi.
A poster?
Poofta.
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 What's a poofta?
Poofta.
Nope.
Is that a sweet one?
No. Bruce.
Hi.
So anyway, Mark Spitz.
Call me Bruce.
Mark Spitz, though, was talking about how supportive he was. Michael Phelps, good for him, rah, rah, rah. And talking about how much he beat his time by. And it occurred to me as I was hearing this, is like, shit, the last guy out of the pool beat your time.
Wow.
It's like, it's gotten to that point now. Because they were talking about, he was saying like, oh, he's like a second something faster. It's like, shit, all of them were that fast.
Well, hey guys, let me tell you, I mean, I know you guys aren't really into sports, except Rick is into women's volleyball. But, you know,
I'm all over the women's gymnastics.
When I follow football pretty hot and heavy in college, and you look at these kids today that, like, I follow Ole Miss Rebels, and I know they hadn't been good in a couple of years, but, like, they signed a kid that was out of high school that was, like, 315 pounds and 6 feet 4 inches tall.
Wow.
You know, he runs a blazing 40-yard dash. It's just unbelievable.
Jesus.
I mean, these kids today are just getting bigger and faster and stronger. And, you know, 5 years from now, maybe 2 Olympics from now, 8 years from now, we'll be seeing records smashed and smashed
That's
and smashed.
Right. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you can't comprehend it, can you?
No, it's unreal. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. I just can't get over these football players, how fast and big they're getting. I mean,
Well, that's the same as back home, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I follow a team at Collingwood, you know, and
the
I love
them. Birds.
We call them the Woods, you know. And
now, how about Australian rules football?
Yeah, that's what I follow.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, see, when we had ESPN first came on here, we didn't have ESPN2 and ESPN News and ESPN Classic and all that stuff. But there wasn't enough news really to report on, so there used to be Australian rules football on all the time, and I used to watch that.
Well,
believe it or not, I did.
Yeah. Well, I love it. I mean, I'm a fanatic for Australian rules, and as I said, my team is Collingwood, and my children, they're one-eyed Collingwood supporters. You know, where they're the Magpies there. That's what. You know, that's what we call them.
Oh, Magpies. Magpies.
Oh, hey, hey, we're not like that. we're the Magpies or the Pies or, you know, the Woods.
Yeah.
But and we don't wear all the padding.
I know. I've seen those guys out there, man. They're just kind of like rugby, but they're playing Australian rules football.
Yeah, and they fly. Yeah. I mean, they're flying high to. You know, catch the football. We call it. If a guy is 6'4", this guy comes from behind and he climbs up on his shoulders. And how tall is that? You know, there he is. He's marking the ball. We call it a mark. You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. I love the game. You know.
It's a very interesting sport.
It is. Well, myself, I grew up in Sydney, and we followed rugby league.
Okay.
And that's what I played in school.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got married and went down to Melbourne, it was Australian rules. It was two different codes, you know.
Okay.
And I had to learn the rules. But now my kids, hell, that's all they follow, you know.
Uh-huh. It's a great sport.
I'm looking here, and I got the Olympic update. So right at this point, Michael Phelps is tied. Mark Spitz record. And by barely edging out, it says here that in another one, the Australians. It says Australia took the gold in one of the swimming. So it's been neck and neck.
Yeah.
U.S. and Australia dominating the swimming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, Joe, you were talking about earlier. That was like your event.
I think Phelps was supposed to swim again tonight, didn't he?
We suck at badminton and we suck at air pistol.
And table hockey.
Yeah.
Or ping pong, yeah.
That's right.
The Chinese got that wrapped up.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There's so many stupid events. I mean, there's not even sports. Kayaking is a sport. It's just not a sport.
How about the rifle shooting?
Yeah, I don't know how.
What about the volleyball?
I love the volleyball. All about it.
Yeah.
Indoor, outdoor.
Yeah, I like the women's one.
You probably got some idiot that says, oh, volleyball, that's not a sport.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah. I watched the men's volleyball, and it's like, honestly, Rick, I was watching it and thought, this is like the one where they had like 9 people out there. It's like, nah, the women's volleyball with 2 of them was a lot cooler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there's men's beach, too, and the U.S. is doing fairly well in there. They got a guy called the Beast.
Yeah, when it's two, they call
him Beast. Beast out of Beijing. Yeah,
the brothers?
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. The guy, he's like 6'9" or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, ridiculous. So, very cool watching the Olympics unfold. Hadn't been, you heard originally about the smog and the pollution and heard nothing about that since I've been there. Nothing but nice. And we were talking about the Chinese food, and Joe's had some Chinese food here, and he said, yeah, well, let me see how to put it. It was shit. Not to put too fine a point on it, but apparently Memphis Chinese
it's Americanized.
Food is shit.
Americanized. It's bastardized.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was telling him, I said, this is my theory. I said, well, you're like downstairs from China.
Uh-huh.
We're way the hell over here.
Probably need to go to like a Thai restaurant or maybe a...
I bet you our Mexican food's a whole lot better than it is in Australia, right? Yeah. It's like what you near, right?
Yeah, but we've got Tex-Mex. We don't have true Mexican food.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
we have the same thing in Australia, too.
Mm-hmm.
But our Asian restaurants here, we've got some top-class restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you talk about shrimp, so we're talking about king prawn.
Mm-hmm.
And even the shit joints are they're equivalent good to what I had today.
So you got to go to the best restaurant in Memphis for Chinese food is probably equal to the shit joint. And I would not doubt it.
Yeah.
But you know what's not a shit joint? What is top class? That's ale to the chief.
Yeah, let's talk about some beer.
Amen,
so
brother.
Drinking, from the People's Republic of Boulder, Ale to the Chief. It's an Avery brew. It's a presidential pale ale to celebrate Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2009. That tells you what these guys are looking forward to. It says, we the brewers of Avery Brewing Company, in order to form a more perfect ale, require new leadership that can liberate us from our quagmire in foreign lands, embrace environmentally sound energy alternatives, yada, yada. Anyway, it says not
beer.
An imperial pale ale. This is a democracy. It's presidential. Take all American pale ale, a bipartisan blend. Wait, what? Whatever.
What?
A bipartisan blend of malt and hops, increase both to Avery Brewing standards, and then, of course, dry hop the result with the most quintessential of American hops, Cascades. Mm. And you get this, Ale to the Chief, a brew worthy of the Oval Office. Anyway, this was brewed, I think, in celebration of the Democratic National Convention, which is coming to Denver, Colorado, shortly.
Does that bottle have Monica Lewinsky's lip marks on it?
It does not.
Is there a stain in the bottom of the bottle?
No cigars, no nothing.
Does it go good with the cigar? Or in a cigar, or a cigar in it?
Tell us how it tastes.
Yeah, how is that ale to the chief? Is it Monica-licious or what?
I'll give the guy a break.
I think he hung up. All right, Rick, how's the beer?
Oh, shit.
How's the beer, Rick?
I don't think he can hear us.
The beer itself is actually quite good.
He's ignoring you, is what it was.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
All right, so with this, unfortunately, I would ask you, does it live up to the description? But the description was so much marketing splooge. I mean, come on.
Okay, do you want to hear what I think of the beer?
Yes, yes sir. That's what we're saying. What do you think?
Okay, well, it was a nice copper amber ale. It's nicely hopped, and it's going to be a great addition to the Democratic Convention. Hopefully some of those guys will drink some of this and loosen up a bit.
All right, now, are they actually going to get to serve this? Or yeah,
the guys at Avery? I don't
know. Yeah. I mean, this is something, you know, Avery, they're all...
I certainly didn't volunteer to pour. Maybe I should, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, Avery is all about the out there in your face beers. I mean, taste is not something they're afraid of. So
they are amazing. I absolutely, you know, I'm in awe of those guys, and I wish I could brew beer as good as they do.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. That Avery is definitely one of my favorite brewers. Mm. So this ale to the chief, though, marketing speak aside, because this is kind of, I mean, to me, a little commercially for them. I mean, the market speak. How is this? Does this, when you're drinking this, are you getting that like kind of out there Avery taste? Is this holding with their tradition?
Yeah, it's an 8.75. It's not a wimp. I mean, it's hoppy. It's a really nice ale. I don't know if I put it on the category of Maharaja, but it's maybe a notch down from that. So
Very nice. Okay, so it's stepping up then. It's definitely in the Avery class. And that's
see,
good.
That's
you'll
what I was talking about.
Chest hairs if you drink this.
That's all what right. I was talking about a while ago, you know. Just a little less alcohol. You know, we were drinking the 10.2. An 8.5 would be great right now.
Man up, bitch.
Doing it, man. I mean, an 8.5 is a good beer, you know?
It is. It is. Wah. All right. Well, you know what, Mike? Since you're going to be all sentimental and chicky on us.
And, I got and your you're chicky not, right here, baby.
I guess we just need to segue because it looks like we're going to have a fourth segment. We'll just get our sentimentality on. And this is another song from Joe. A little sentimental ballad from his latest Hiding Undercover. And this is called Dead End Road.
I walked away and broke a heart. I looked away 'cause she was crying. Grabbed my guitar, jumped in that car. Left with the band to be a star. Oh, no. I sang the blues from here to Broome. I sang in bars and spoke the room. I'm always drunk and I get stoned. Please get me off this dead end road. It serves me right to feel so blue, Lord. I sit alone just drinking booze. My tears are falling just like rain. Wish I'd have my time again, Lord knows. My. I watched her from afar. My kids play ball and having fun. Her arms around another man. I guess I'll hit that road again. I sang the blues from here to Broome. I sang in pubs and smoky rooms. I'm always drunk and I get stoned. I'll get me off this dead end road. I'm always drunk and I get stoned. Get me off this dead end road. Yeah. I'm always drunk and I get stoned. Just get me off this dead end road.
Okay. That was Jugalia. Dead End Road, nice, sweet song. And you were telling me, Joe, that was about your first wife?
Well, yeah, that's when I, first married, and I was in the band, and I was leaving town all the time, and she was crying, and, you know, stay home, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so, I wrote this, and... maybe saying sorry to my kids. I don't know.
How many did you have with her?
Two with her, and three with this one, with the new one.
Okay. Good deal.
Yeah. But we're all friends. So, mm-hmm.
Rick's having them some chips or something over there.
He's opening up more pretzels.
I'm sorry. I was fiddling around with a bag.
He was fiddling?
He's playing with his bag.
I don't know what you poured in that glass, man, but...
It's liquid gold.
I do know what he poured. That was the 120, right?
Yes, man, sir. Yeah. And we apparently have Mike said, I'm over-alcoholed. We forgot.
Man, I am.
We forgot to mention the last 720 that we drank.
Yeah.
We had Schlafly. The Schlafly Reserve barley wine style ale. Always a keeper.
10.2% alcohol.
And that, and Rick, what was he said? All barley wine all the time.
Amen, brother.
Beautiful.
That's my motto.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It was a fantastic beverage. And we've had this before. We're having a bunch of beers that we had on the show before. But the Schlafly, man, you can't do any better than that. They're big bottles.
And they're right up the road.
Right up the road in St. Louis. The belly of the beast, of course. Now, lest we forget,
yes.
Schlafly is the only and the largest and only largest American brewer in St. Louis. Because those rat bastards in St. Louis, those Anheuser-Busch bastards, they're now Belgian.
Belgian, right. InBev.
So if you want to drink American... Don't you go buying that Budweiser or that Miller or that Coors.
Yep.
It's all somebody else's, right? Hell, go buy you a can of Foster's, which Joe says they don't even drink that shit.
Go knock on Rick Hagerbomber's door. He'll sell you something American made.
He'll set you straight.
I'll give you some of my WD-40 beer before I throw it down the drain.
That's right. WD-40? Yeah. Graze you up. Set you right.
Have you brewed anything else since then?
No, I'm still depressed. I ruined a keg of beer.
What? That's severe alcohol abuse. You're going to have to go to AA meeting to redeem yourself.
It's fixing to be alcohol abuse because I'm pouring the 5 gallons down the drain.
Man.
It tastes like WD-40. It's awful.
All right, so we got to do the homebrew update. Mike, you got a what was it you just put up?
I've got a Russian Imperial Stout.
What good about the wit? Didn't you do a Belgian wit?
Yeah, and it's about history.
What do you mean? Gone?
Gone, yeah.
All right, did we talk about that?
I don't think we did. It turned out real good. Well, I don't know.
It was that quick?
I think we drank one a few shows ago.
Yeah, we did. Had a little. Yeah, okay.
I think that's it. Part of it right there.
Guys, while we're doing the Brew Bubbas, they're having a big ale competition. One, you can submit one beer a month. from like August till December, and the prize package is fantastic. I mean, the winning prize, they get to go brew like 300 gallons of your beer at Koonin's in Michigan. So,
oh man, and Koonin's, fantastic.
I might send in that Russian Imperial Stout.
You should.
You might want to do that. You might want to do that.
And Rick, the other thing we need to pimp out, the website from Craig.
Craft Beer Locator. It's they're out there, and they've got beer explorers, and they've got the breweries signing up, and obviously the epicenter is in Michigan, but it's spreading out nationwide. Mm-hmm. And I was there with him at the Great Taste of the Midwest, and we were trying to pimp that thing. So hopefully brewers and beer drinkers are all signing up to go for it.
Yeah, it's a beer locator in progress, and it's only going to grow by everybody pitching in. And I will tell you this, a friend of mine was in somewhere in Michigan, ran across a beer magazine there, like the local beer scene, sent it to me. I open it up, first thing I see, an ad for Craft Beer Locator. So they're going at it hard, and of course we're supporting them, so go check them out, craftbeerlocator.com. And we have another site that Mike found, and this is kind of interesting. They're not about beer.
No.
But, yeah.
My Mangina?
Yeah. Is Mangina?
MyMangina.com.
MyMangina.com.
Is that like My Sharona?
It's worse than that.
But if you don't find anything there, perhaps you might want to go to Toolmonger.com.
You said tool.
I got you tool. It's toolmonger.com because beer and fixing shit.
Goes together, man.
Yeah, it goes together. And so Mike was saying the deal here is this is it starts off as what is it, a one beer project. One beer project. Yeah. And it starts off, I was looking at some posts, it says, first, grab a beer. And
and fix this shit.
Yeah. So you can learn to fix your toilet. You can learn to do this and that and the other. So toolmonger.com and enjoy a beverage. Yeah.
Well, how about beersafari.com? That's lest another great
we
website.
Forget another one. Beersafari.com and a veritable ass load of beer cast. Mm-hmm. And many that suck, apparently.
Yeah, we're right in there with them.
We're leading the forefront of that. But no, it's a lot of good podcasts. And man, I'll tell you what, if nothing, we are prolific, and it's a lot of good beers, a lot of good coverage of the beer scene. And of course, what's on our radar now? We've been talking about it is August, and oddly enough, during Death Week of Elvis, we're not enjoying the death heat. We ain't killed anybody in a couple of weeks with our heat. So we're enjoying.
Well, you should have been with me on San Antonio this last week. Man, it's like 102 degrees.
Well, see, that's what I'm looking for here. But we're not. We've got an unseasonably cool time. But hopefully, you know, August isn't over yet. We still got time. We're going to kill some old people before it's over with.
We got brag to about it.
We got to. We'll have the death toll for you on the next show. But, what we're looking for is when it cools off a little in October. And Big Foamy Head is going to make its pilgrimage to the Great American Beer Fest.
GABF.
And Rick's got us a podcasting gig lined up, right?
Yeah, sign up, come along. We're going to do the World Brewers Forum, and Greg Cook from Stone Brewing Company, I believe, is going to be the keynote speaker. And we got the Budweiser dude from out in Fort Collins. He's going to be speaking. And
what's up with
that?
Have
a good time. There's going to be like a crap load of homebrews to drink that night. In addition to all the other fine beers you'll be enjoying during the...
Yeah, say that again.
Yeah, right. Choke on that.
I think somebody else needs to tone down the alcohol.
Yeah, I'm on my third bomber, actually, so...
Good thing
you're... Steamworks Conductor Imperial India.
Man, what a beer.
Which we were all just popping the cork over the last show before last.
That beer right that one, it reminds me of this one too.
Really?
Yeah.
We're not saying what this one was.
Yeah, I know.
Yet.
I know.
So lest we forget, and Rick, you reminded me of something. I started to say last show, it wasn't last show. The show before last. The last show was Rick filed a report with just a ton of interviews from Great Taste of the Midwest, right?
Yeah. How'd you guys like it? Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, great. And it's funny because I went to the your disclaimer at the beginning, and my wife was listening. She says, I want to hear the thick-tongued part. You can hear Rick trash himself.
Well, my only problem is I seem to enjoy hearing myself speak and interrupting everybody that I'm talking to. So it's like,
yeah, where did you get that from?
Yeah, we like to hear you speak too.
No, it's a great, a lot of interviews. It's just nonstop, a lot of interviews, a lot of people weighing in on that. So it's kind of nice, you know, if you don't get to go to these beer festivals, it's good to at least experience it vicariously. Drink a lot, then listen to it.
Dad and Craig and I were on streaming radio there in Madison, so that's pretty cool.
So, awesome. Mike was referring, we were kind of roundabout not referring to it. Rick, you're still drinking the ale to the chief?
No, I'm drinking Steamworks.
Oh, okay, the Steamworks, sorry. All right, which, damn, that's a good
beer. That's one I'm saying.
Oh, my God. And Mike's thinking that compares to the beer we're currently enjoying. And we've got this.
It's got hints of flavor to it.
It's got 4 ounces apiece that we're drinking. We're going a little light drinking this. Dogfish Head 120.
$9.97 a bottle, or something.
$10 bottle of beer here.
A small bottle, that is.
And that's a 12-ounce bottle. Yeah, that's not a bomber.
It's a tasty beverage, is it not? Huh? Yeah. And dude at the liquor store, little pimply-faced weasel boy, said, it's too hoppy for me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's like, well, when you grow up.
When you grow up. And you can shave every day.
Man, this is you got to man up to drink this beer.
Yes,
and
you do.
And I got to tell you something though. Every time I have this, it tastes different. And this one, oh my God, this has got to be the best one yet.
Yeah,
it's got some sweet taste, some hop taste, some citrus. Mm. It's just,
it's a lot like that steam.
The Steamworks. Yeah. Steamworks, the conductor.
Man. Yeah,
That's a great beer.
Citrusy. Yep.
All right, you getting the citrus?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this one, I've had it where it's been like molasses and syrupy. And the thing with these super beers like this, like 18-19%, you never know what you're going to get because you can put it up, age it forever.
Yeah.
Forever in a day. And, oh, my God.
It's got that hop at the back of your throat.
Yeah, yeah. After you swallow it and stuff.
Yeah.
But I agree. The citrus, the punch in your
the aroma, tonsils. The nose is just unbelievable.
Oh yeah,
I mean it's fantastic. Just, even with all the beers we've been drinking and the spicy barbecue we ate and I mean it's still just it's got just a great nose.
It cuts right through it.
It does. It's pushing its way through. Mm. Saying, yeah, here I'm here.
Yeah,
kind of like Joe at a party.
have your way with me.
That's right. Joe, if there's one beer you take back to Australia from the United States, take the Dogfish Head 90.
That's a
little
a great
less one. Than the 120, but it's probably one of the America's favorite beers.
Yeah, we enjoyed beers. One. We had one at the Flying Saucers, and I was telling Rick how that's been one of the few beers that we've actually bought cases.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I enjoyed that night that we were down there, you know. So many beers. I thought I died and I went to heaven. pouring all kinds of beers there. And let me tell you, if I ever came back, right, I'll have to bring two friends with me. Or three. I want to bring my guitar player, Bomber Robert Davey. He loves his beer. I want to bring Jimmy Sloggett, who's a connoisseur of beer. And I want to bring my great mate from way, way back. He's my old guitar player, Michael Downs. Man, that can... Like, he drinks beer in the morning for breakfast, and he drinks it till he goes to bed, and makes sure that he's got one for when he wakes up. And you know, it just, you know, all day long. Like
he likes a beer.
He likes his beer.
To say the least. Yeah.
It's liquid bread.
Yeah.
Right. What is it?
Hey, what did you think of the Catholic schoolgirls at the Flying Saucer?
I had a look Yeah, I looked once or twice.
he rolled his eyes at him, then he went over and picked him back up.
Well, my mouth was watering. I didn't know whether it was for the beer or those little Catholic schoolgirls.
It was amazing.
it was great. That was terrific to be there.
Yeah, Joe's learned about uniform.
Yes. Oh, hey, that's what makes it.
Yeah, he's learned about Southern women.
Oh, yeah.
We got some good-looking women. We threw a few homely ones in to round it out.
But hey, I was at a pub in San Antonio on a river walk the other night.
There's a big tongue.
Yeah, tell me about it. River walk. And the waitress would come up, and I didn't do this, but it's, a couple other people did. They had these little skirt or kilts that they would put on the men, but when she would put the kilt around you and hook it, you had to drop your drawers.
All right.
And then come out of your drawers, you know. So, they were doing that all night, all over the bar. It was kind of weird. But,
oh, man.
But they were cute. The girls had the little Scottish kilts on, or Scottish, I guess.
Yeah, they would be. Yeah.
They had the flying saucer. They looked a lot like them.
Yeah.
You know.
Very
That'd
nice.
Be scary if you were sporting skid marks.
Yeah.
Or sporting a Woody.
Never would.
Yeah, never wear white underpants.
Yeah, that's right.
Just don't wear underpants.
Yeah, you know, brown underwear, always a good idea.
Yeah.
You can't get caught, right? Why isn't there a lot more brown underwear?
I don't know.
Who the hell thought white underwear?
White underwear,
that's idea,
stupid.
Huh? Yeah,
stupid.
It really is dumb.
Yeah.
You're busted.
Yeah.
Don't you remember your mom used to always tell you, wear clean underwear. You never know if you get in an accident.
That's right. Yeah, got to go to the hospital.
And you know something? I still practice that because I bought 2 dozen pairs of underwear with me.
All right, Joe. That's a little more information than we needed to know. No, I'm just messing.
You always pack twice as many as you think you need.
Yeah, that's right. Because if any accidents happen, just throw them away. You know what I mean?
Right.
Wow, this conversation degraded.
It really has. All right, so we got to sum up, Rick.
But don't they all on this show?
We got to round up. Okay. All right, we've had a bunch of beers. They're on the website. We're not going to remember them all.
Slap me naked and call me Shirley.
We've got
to. I had 3 good ones. I had 888, I had Ale to the Chief, and I had the Steamworks Conductor Imperial India Pale Ale.
Tell us about that beer.
Oh, it's dark and has a nice white head, at least a 1-inch head. And
that's not what I want to know. I want to know what you think of it.
that's the one we were like orgasming over.
Yeah, we just fell. Do you not like it that much?
Yeah, I like it. It's just fine. But after an Avery.
You were
hard to follow Avery.
You're right.
Well, down here we had... oh, my God. Okay.
Wait up. Go ahead and finish your repertoire on the beer.
Oh, go ahead.
That was it.
Okay.
There you go. All right. Here we have the Omegang Abbey Ale, Le Fendimon from Unibrew. Mike had a Boulevard Pale Ale. We drank a Schlafly Reserve Barley Wine, but before that we had the Left Hand Double IPA, and now we're sitting pretty with a Dogfish Head 120.
And before that I had an Alaskan Brewery Alt.
Right. Okay,
Amber
that
Alt.
That was before you came over. All right.
And you bitches ate Corky's, and I had nothing.
That's right.
You had pretzels. Shut up.
Corky's barbecue. So we've had 32 beers on this.
Holy cow. My head's going to hurt in the morning.
It seems like it. So, no, it's really, we have definitely overdone it. Maybe.
I'll be doing a leave tonight before I go to bed.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Joe, welcome to America.
Thank you very much. I tell you what, it's a lot like home.
Bunch of drunk assholes. Right?
Yeah. I agree with that, and I'm proud to say so.
And probably some whole asses, too.
Right? Well, there's
a
couple.
I think Americans and Australians have a connection, actually.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We certainly do, and that's for sure.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to call it a show, and we're going to leave the mics on, and so we're going to have some after-show extras, because Joe's got a ton of stories that we've been covering, and unfortunately, you have to buy the DVD.
So he's going to clue us into the secrets of Britney Spears.
All of that, yeah. He is one of Britney Spears' secret husbands.
Cool.
Yeah, fathered one of the kids she doesn't talk about.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so we're going to have to leave the mics
on. Does she shave down there or what?
Only on one side.
Kind of half Brazilian.
You know, yeah.
I know she goes commando all the time.
Yeah. Well, everybody knows that. And the choir.
And, you know, and she takes pride in winking. You know.
Wanking or winking?
Winking. Winking. With, you know, shaved one side and just winks.
Yeah. All, that, you know.
All right. Well, let's wind it up. Isaac Hayes, you know, may you rest in peace. And Bernie Mac.
Hayes, enjoy your spaceship, man.
Yeah, no kidding. We hope that Scientology bullshit's working out for you, buddy.
Dumbass. Dumbass.
Nah, he's you think at the end maybe he said, oh shit, Jesus, I'm right here. Sorry,
hallelujah,
buddy. I'm sorry. I would love to know that, but no, it is a loss for the musical community and Bernie Mac, the entertainer.
And I imagine the Scientology group's missing that paycheck every month.
Yeah, he is. But you ain't going to let that go, are you?
No, I'm not. Too bad, so sad.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you gave me hell. Because I was a Presbyterian, and you said, what did you say about Catholicism?
What?
Oh, what did you tell me?
Yeah, Jesus started our church.
That's right.
Yours.
Okay. Well, then who started Scientology? And when?
Ron Hubbard.
And when was it started? Back in the 80s?
60 something. 60. Actually, yeah, I looked this up. Actually, to your point, Mike, I looked this up. You remember that deal, Dianetics? They used to come on late night.
L. Ron Hubbard.
That was the foundation of Scientology. Is this goofy?
He found a way for people to send him money.
Yeah, right? No, he doesn't. Like, okay, so here, just a note to all the big foamy head Scientology listeners. Turn us off. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
come on. Come on.
Even Nicole Kidman gave you the ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, that's a good-looking Aussie woman.
Oh, man.
I'd climb up that pole.
Tell me about it.
Is that a visual of Rick climbing up a pole and Nicole Kidman at the top? Come on, Rick. Come on. Okay. Obviously, we degenerate. I was trying to be sincere.
Okay. I am sincere.
Scientology listeners? Yeah, we love you.
Yeah, we love you. Piss off.
Nice.
This just in.
George Carlin is still dead.
Okay. All right, so the Death Watch continues. George Carlin, still dead. Isaac Hayes, nearly dead. Yeah, Elvis, 31 years, still dead. But drawing them in, baby.
Drawing them in.
Drawing them in, man.
He's definitely more popular dead than alive.
And so who else we got? All right, visit craftbeerlocator.com.
Beersafari.com.
Beersafari.com. Visit it 2 times. Don't listen to the show again until you've gone 2 times. Right?
Joe Galea, plug your website.
That's right. JoeGaleaBand.com. And good day, mate, to all of the band members back home who were just too damn lazy to come along with you.
Yeah. And my hat's off to you guys, too, putting up with this guy the way you have for so many years.
Shit, don't tell him that.
I want a raise.
Yeah.
This is the longest sign-off we've ever had.
I know. We're pushing 25 minutes. All right, so let's wrap it up. We're going to leave the mics on. There'll be the after show extra. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back, see us.
Thank you very much.